Hello, and welcome to the Modern Maker Podcast for Thursday, May 7th, 2020, otherwise known as National Tourism Day. Something that not a lot of is going on, but that's our only choice for today, so we roll with it.
When was the last time you guys considered yourself a tourist?
Was I a tourist in Atlanta for Workbench Con? I don't know.
Nope. Business trip.
Oh, that's true, huh? It's been a long time for me.
I don't know why the term tourist has always just sort of annoyed me. It just seems so unspecific, or like traveling for stimulus or fun or novelty is like, I think, a really good thing. Mm-hmm. But the idea of like tourist just means it's like this like mediocre, or at least maybe it's just my association with the word. I just associate with this like kind of like passive, just sort of walking around. Oh, I'm someplace new.
It sounds like you're somewhere doing all of the things that like are surface level.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like you're not like digging deep into a place and like really seeing what it's like.
All right. Let's paint the picture. I'm
here for the low hanging fruit.
Yeah. I was about to say, let's paint the picture. We're talking jean shorts, tall white socks, sandals, and a camera taking pictures of everything that's not special.
That's the picture of a tourist.
Getting really,
like, why are you taking pictures of that?
Getting really excited about things that locals know is not that good.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I haven't been a tourist in a while. A few years ago, I went to Cancun. That was fun. That was the last time I kind of traveled with no like agenda.
But be real. Yeah. Were you a tourist or were you like a partier?
Yeah, we were turning up.
Yeah. So that's also a different category, right? Like, so I think like people that go to some place to party is different than a tourist. I mean, it's still, there's an overlap, not a clean Venn diagram. There's a little bit of like a little smidge over here overlapping with over here. But
yeah,
when I hear the term tourism, like I just think like people that are just like, well, I'm bored of looking at what I'm usually looking at. Let me go stand around and look at stuff at some other place.
Well, I was going to say, so where you guys are in Joshua Tree, right? You should in theory have like a bunch of tourists around, but it's kind of different going somewhere like that. It's not really tourist, like you're exploring if you're there or something.
Yo, it is LA Tourist Central.
I mean, I know a lot of people from here go there.
Yeah. I mean, this year, of course, with everything, people are staying home, but this is typically peak vacation season and the main strip of Joshua Tree is booked up. Like if you want to go eat somewhere, it's like a half 45 minute wait, just kind of anywhere.
Applebee's.
I mean, yeah, you want to go to Applebee's and you got to wait.
No, waiting, kidding. Baby.
Applebee's is not worth waiting for. You walk into Applebee's and they say, slogan, it'll be a 5 minute wait. No, I'm good, actually. Thank you.
All right, fine. Here, you can just sit on the ground. Fine. Just don't leave, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't ragged on Applebee's in a long time.
It's been a while, yeah.
You know what? Straight up, Applebee's never has a wait.
Yeah.
I think it got like out of our system. It got out of the system once we went there.
Because it's overpriced mediocrity. That's exactly what it's not that the food's terrible. Like, I like bad food. Like, I'll indulge in some terrible food. Like, I like the low end of a lot of things. But Applebee's is like $15 for an entree that's just not great.
You're right.
So it's not that, like, I'm a big fan. Like, dude, the other day, went to Taco Bell. Pro tip, beefy Frito burrito.
Boom.
Or you're doing it wrong.
Or you're doing it wrong.
Beefy Frito. I feel like they could have called it like a beefy buffrito.
Right.
Cut out a couple syllables.
Chris, yeah, they got to hit that trademark, man. They got to get that TM.
Chris,
yeah,
you workshop this for a little bit. I have every faith in you that you can come up with the better version of the beefy Frito burrito.
It's just like
the Frito burrito just seems a little redundant.
Beefy Rito.
Yeah.
Beefy burrito.
I would much rather hit the low end and just like enjoy my $4 order at Taco Bell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then
that's 100,000,000%. That's it, man.
Right? Like, or even like, and if I just want like slightly better food, Chipotle. Yeah. Or Sweet Greens or a lemonade or something like that if you're in like a nicer city. But
man, such is life though.
Yeah.
With the basics, I wear jeans that I really like. And I feel like jeans are one of those things that like if you want to get nice jeans, that's a good purchase. Because most likely you're going to be wearing them a lot. I'm a guy that will wear the same pair of jeans like 5 days a week. You know, maybe wash them once.
Michael.
But
I've noticed you've gone a little baggier with your fit on your jeans later.
I'm just experimenting. I'm just workshopping. You know, you can't hate. But the Levi's 512s, those are still the Modern Build signature jean. If you ever want to cop it. Nice. But the good part about it is the affordable side, which is the t-shirts. I like basics. Ben, you like basics too. But the last thing I want to do is buy like a plain black or white t-shirt for $30. So I get them at Walmart. Boom. Like if I'm getting a basic plain t-shirt with nothing special, there's no way I'm going to pay more than like whatever Walmart's going to charge me. So the Walmart George T's and Levi's 512s. So the Modern Builds fit right there.
All right. This is good.
That's the uniform.
I like where this conversation is going because this is what's going to...
Yeah.
It's not a project that I'm working on. It's a project that I'm planning.
The haircut? So,
no. Yo.
Yo, we've got the 2.0 this week.
Thank you for all the advice. I got hit up with a lot of people that have a lot of hot takes on haircut technology. I think we're on to something here, boys.
Dude, I can tell you that much. I am tired of wearing a hat. I can't fix my hair because it's just too long. So I'm stuck wearing hats.
Nah. Just let it go. Just let it go shaggy and crazy.
But okay, where are we going with this, with the fashion All right. talk?
So it's like sometimes I will have like a project where it's just like, you know what a log line is in like the entertainment industry? It's like a one sentence description of the show.
Okay, like an elevator pitch.
Right. So it's like, it's how do you describe the show in one sentence?
Right.
So the log line for this project would be a modular wardrobe for minimalists.
Okay.
Right. So I've been interested because, you know, I wear mostly the same thing pretty much every day. Shout out to RevTown. And I like the idea of how do you, when you have it like everything reduced down to just everything's dialed in. You don't just have a bunch of random stuff. You actually can, by memory, recite every single thing that you own that you wear. Mm-hmm. That lets you sort of build a physical infrastructure to store it all that's like pretty organized, which I haven't done. It's all just sort of shoved in the closet shelves right now. So I want to create like a, if I create the wardrobe that's just perfect for me, it'll probably look pretty cool and it'll still get, you know, clicks, but it won't be that useful for other people unless I turn it into some sort of modular system.
So, right, that makes sense.
I wouldn't say that I'm a minimalist because I think the minimalist would then come out, would tell me all the ways that I'm not one because I have.
Right.
Yo, if minimalists are vegans, you're a strong vegetarian.
I have a plant-based diet.
Maybe eat a fish every once in a while.
Right.
You're at least a fashion minimalist.
Yeah, exactly. We're going like simple and kind of minimal, but not minimalist.
Right. So I think
kind of minimal. That's the term.
So I was thinking a lot about minimalism. And I think minimalism is like veganism, where people like the, like, and plant-based is the broader, more acceptable version of veganism. Like when you hear veganism, it's almost like a flex. It's like being like, I'm so hardcore. I only eat like roots and bark and shrubs.
Yeah.
But like when you say that, like, oh, I'm trying to eat more vegetables, that's like a much more relatable point. So I guess it's more like I'm interested in the kind of essentialism or the intentionality of like consumption more than the minimalist aspect. But I think the modularity is like the right way to sort of let people dose their minimalism as they see fit. So it's going to be a really simple build, plywood. It's going to be just classic plywood, three tools, make something to hold shirts, make something to hold boots, make something that holds vans. Make something that holds the one suit that I have, all black, looks very good. But, and then something that holds like seasonal clothing, and then those go together into like a pattern that can like fill up a wall or go inside a closet. Mm-hmm. So I like that idea of doing it in a modular way, because that way if somebody has more pairs of shoes than I do, they can just do another one of the shoe modules and like keep going, right? Yeah. So they can kind of expand it. But the build is going to be so simple. I have to figure out like a good way of connecting the kind of like knolling. You guys know the word knolling? Mm-mm. It's like where you
like knoll.
Like when you knoll something, it's like you lay out all the things that you're just going to organize and then put into it.
Okay.
So right now what I'm trying to figure out is the actual video production strategy for how I connect these different categories of things that I own. Like, so what is like, what do I put on in the morning if I'm going to a business meeting, rare, versus like going into the workshop or editing, common, right? So it'll be like, obviously the space for like my everyday stuff, you know, jeans and a t-shirt, really big. And then how do I still sort of create room for the seasonal things like the jackets or like a light jacket versus a heavy jacket, work boots versus my Vans, which is what I wear almost all the time, and so on and so forth. So it'll involve sort of like organizing things on like a floor or against the wall and then building units for those things. So kind of a brainstorming it all out at the moment.
You know what? Okay, this is maybe not helpful, but it just got me thinking about how all my clothes are organized. And so in like my side of the closet or whatever, I have basically everything from, you know, t-shirts, jeans, sweats, the suits that I have, everything. And then in our hallway closet, I have all my jackets, which are things that I wear much more frequently than like the suits or something like that. And I'm just thinking right now, like, why don't I just take the stuff that I don't wear often and that stuff just all goes in the closet, regardless of what it is, and then take like things like jackets that I do wear a lot and put those in my closet.
Right. So that's how I started breaking it down. So I started thinking of like, I think at the
most essential gear.
The most essential is everyday carry. So that's like wallet, phone, watch, I don't wear one, keys, all those kind of things. Like that's everyday carry. That's like the most intimate, the most universal thing. Shoes are kind of pretty close to that because I normally wear the same pair of shoes every day. And then like standard wear would be like probably like 5 days out of the week, I wear the same colored jeans and the same combination of either one or two t-shirts. If it's more towards the winter or fall, I'm wearing a long sleeve. If it's right now during the summer or spring, short sleeve. So like those would be in like the second most. They're not quite everyday carry because, you know, you wear them once and then wash them. And then the sort of seasonal and then special occasions, which would be like the business casual clothes, or if I have a meeting where I have to look professional and give a talk or something like that. And then there's like anomalous stuff like rain gear or stuff like that. But then I was also thinking like my suitcase and stuff should be in this area because the suitcase should be near where you're going to pack from that. Right. Yeah. So I've been trying to think of like, The basics are really easy to sort of design for. It's the how many anomalies do you accommodate before you just put them in a separate location?
I was going to say, so I guess that comes down to what you're building and where it's going, right? Like how big is it? And then what is it going to live in a bedroom?
I kind of think so. I'm thinking more bedroom, right? And I think most closets are too small anyways. And like, I think a closet should be for storage. I don't think the stuff you wear on a daily basis, you should display it so it looks nice, like a clothing boutique, not have a door that you have to open to get to it, right? Like, if everything's folded and on an open shelf that's, like, made out of, like, you know, some sort of nice plywood or something, I don't think that needs to be hidden away. I think the speed of, like, coming out of the shower, and that was the other thing, too. I was thinking, like, oh, I also think that, like, a wardrobe or this kind of closet should accommodate dirty clothes in addition to clean clothes. Like it should be like the full, like your laundry basket should be built into that same situation.
Yeah.
So you just need a really long wall that you can just turn into a whole modular thing. Bro, this is the biggest, small little DIY I've ever heard.
Well, that's the problem, right? Like it starts getting stretched out real long. And then the challenge would be like, how do you really take advantage of all those situations, but then keep it to about, I think, 5 feet of wall space.
Yeah, the takeaway that I do like out of that kind of train of thought you were running is the idea of prioritizing your essential items outside of your closet. Because I'm somebody that the majority of my things color coordinate. The majority of my things are just different versions of the same thing. And so if they were sort of displayed in the way you're talking about, I think it would look pretty cool. And then all of your non-essentials, like what you're talking about, Chris, whether it's jackets or whether it's pants, suits, or things like that, that can all take up the closet space. But if you've got the room in the bedroom to have a unit, I think it's a cool idea to store your essentials outside, but you would want it to be visible.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of like, how do I use things like near the top for like the seasonal stuff? And like, how do I make like a drop down cabinet that like literally you barely see it, but that's for like luggage and for winter jackets and kind of seasonal stuff. But then everything at like eyeline is like your everyday kind of stuff.
Those are the expensive shelves.
And then also thinking in, because it's one thing to organize something, but it's something else to think about the access to that organization relative to daily habits and routines. And then slightly uncommon routine. So it's like, you know, so it's like, oh, if you come out of the shower and then you get dressed, do you hang the towel up in there or do you hang the towel in this wardrobe kind of thing, right? So that's the sort of current breakdown that I'm diagramming. Got a whole sketchbook dedicated to this right now where I'm trying to figure out, like, how far do I take it where it's just storing stuff, or how, and then how far does the system sort of encroach into other parts of the house so that it's sort of like, you know.
Sounds like you need a set of dimensions.
I think you should do it where each, you have like
an, like an exterior set of dimensions. My bad, Chris. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, go for it. Well, I was going to say, so I think you have like a bunch of enclosed cases, and one could be like, you know, shirts, pants, socks, underwear, whatever, different sizes. And then somehow you have like a spring that moves up as less things are on it. So it's always pushing stuff to the top, and it's like a Pez dispenser. Yeah. All your stuff goes together. Every day you just open the lid, grab the top thing. That's what you're wearing that day.
I've thought about that with underwear. With underwear, it's the best idea ever.
Whatever comes out, these are my underwear today. I'm going like with my little pony.
Underwear, yeah, you never get to pick what color. Yeah, exactly.
Underwear and socks should be like a Pez dispenser.
Yeah, or even just like a dang tissue box. Yeah, but I like the idea of what are the things where like if the opening is on the bottom and they gravity feed down.
Yeah.
Like if you folded up machine. Your boxers real square, that would be perfect for that. Yeah.
Invent it.
No, but that's the part that I'm trying to be realistic about too. Because I'm a minimalist when it comes to like contributing time towards things that don't really matter more than I am to a minimalist that organizes the shit out of things. So if I had to make that underwear dispenser, if I had to fold them practically,
it's
already lost. But if it was like a bin,
you don't fold underwear?
I mean, does it matter that it's wrinkled?
So are they just in a pile? See them. Oh, I guess if they're in a drawer.
Yeah.
Who says he wears them?
Yeah. Okay, so you're a drawer guy. See, these are the things we're uncovering. You can't have visible underwear storage. It's got to be hidden.
I think it should be like you. I think you hit on something I didn't think of that I think would be perfect. It should be gravity fed, but it should be like Kleenex or tissue box dispensing of underwear.
Where you just kind of you pinch a piece and whatever comes out comes out.
Just hope pinch one off.
You just pinch one out.
But like that's not bad. That's like a good system.
And it's good for socks too. For socks and underwear, both the things that don't matter if they get wrinkled.
Right
now, you hang your clothes or you fold them like shirts.
A combination.
Folds them and then hangs that on a hanger.
Yeah, I fold them and then I.
I never hang T-shirts.
I have a platform hanging from a clothes rack.
I never hang T-shirts. I always hang like button shirts and jackets.
You never hang T-shirts. Okay, see that's where we differ as well. Okay,
I'm a T-shirt hanger myself, Mike.
Well, see your T-shirts are kind of a thicker cotton. So you would get a lot of fold lines in them if you folded them.
Exactly. That's it.
So that's why you're not a shelf
Walmart
guy.
Walmart specials.
Whereas I go with more of like the really like 50-50 blends.
Okay, so now this is the time to be honest with yourself. Are you a clean folder? Like, is your T-shirt stack good looking or does it need to disappear?
No, because like my shirts are like unstiff enough. Like the material's pretty pliable. Like there's like well-worn 50-50 blends. So they kind of just drape anyways. They're not going to show any fold lines.
Dang. Okay, so the majority of this I'm picturing as like cubbies or some kind of crazy dispenser. There's not a ton of open storage.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of shelves. But here's the thing I do like.
We're unearthing a lot of stuff here.
I'm all about the shallow shelves for shirts, right? Like,
yeah.
Now, all my shirts are the same, but back when I had like a mixture of like different shirts and like where there were a whole bunch of one-offs, like I always hated that you had to stack them in a drawer. I think I've said this before. I think the ideal drawer is really shallow and really long. So you pull it out and you see everything. You don't have to look under anything.
Yeah, like, you want like a
display shelves, right? Like flats.
Yeah. Storing blueprint shirts like a blueprint.
Yeah. But
and then you can do that with all your pants.
Yeah. Well, my pants are all the same. Shout out to RevTown.
Dang.
But we can shelve this conversation for now, but it's just what I've been thinking about. I'm starting to really take stock of everything I own, even down to like sunglasses and that awesome stuff that we got from Bespoke. Like, where do I fill up that nice little copper flask and these other little cool things like a Zippo lighter or Jimmy Duresta ice pick or these other things that could be in the everyday carry kind of section.
Man,
cool.
Haircuts last week, clothes this week. Next week, shoes.
Well,
all shoe display.
Yeah.
I guess you kind of covered that already.
Yeah. All right, everybody. For y'all listening and who are curious, Chris's beard is growing in even better this week.
It's 1 week longer.
This is the first week. This is the first time I logged into our Google Hangout and it didn't frighten me. It's not that I was expecting it, but it's now becoming just what I associate with you, dude. I picture you with a beard now.
I mean, I've always had like your kind of beard, like a stubble beard, but now I'm like,
you're Grizzly Adams
or whatever. But yeah, this is I made a little joke about it in my most recent video, just a segue into something. Yeah. And got a lot of like comments, like people saying like, shave it, keep it, whatever. People telling me to comb it down. Here's the thing.
Right.
If I comb this thing down right now, it actually hurts. Like it goes against the grain. It just wants to go out. So I think what I actually need to do is just like push through this stage that I'm in now, let it get a little shaggier. And then just like, then I can start shaping a little bit.
Nice, man. Either way, I'm proud. It's a good look. But segue into your newest video.
Well, it's already out. It was the Hempwood one, which is crazy.
I know. I haven't seen it yet. I saw the thumbnail.
It's a hell of a thumbnail, let me tell you, brother.
But I like how dark it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy because like the shop is so different in that one. I don't even know when I filmed it. It was a while ago though. I didn't have an outfeed table. I know that looking back at it. But like I've got in the next, last week, this week, the following week, three videos coming out that were all shot at various times pre and during COVID-19 times. Mm-hmm. So like stuff from all over the place that I just ended up like sitting on things for a little while for whatever reason. And then other than that, I've been the past starting, I guess, late last week, I started on my first set of plans. So awesome. This like, whew, I already filled up my whole like 128 gigabyte SD card and I'm like maybe a quarter into the project. So I'm like really taking footage for these things because they're going to be really long video tutorials, but it's going to be crazy. Like I'm very anxious to get to the editing phase because that's where it's like really going to be different. The building phase is really not that much different. It's just like documenting every single little thing that normally I would kind of, I don't gloss over a lot, but there are certain things that I gloss over when it's like getting into like the nitty gritty of like measuring little things and like, something that might be one step in a YouTube video is actually like seven steps to like set everything up. So there's a lot going on. It's definitely like a different style or different procedure than what I'm used to, but
yeah, it's just a whole nother level of presentation. You just got to you just got to take it to the ultimate detail.
It's really not harder. Yeah. It's just like making sure that you're dotting every I and crossing every T and like not wanting to get into that situation where like, shoot, I forgot to do this and now I got to go recreate it or whatever. I'm really trying to avoid that.
I'm really glad you're going for it. So what project are you doing? Because you've been talking about wanting to do plants for a long time. So are you going in with a relatively complicated project or are you going to ease your way into it?
I'm going in, I would say, with a intermediate project.
Okay.
So it's a dresser. You could build it out of plywood or hardwood. I'll go over.
Is it going to have an underwear dispenser? Both.
It has an underwear dispenser.
Perfect.
Kleenex style. Pops out the top. They're perforated so that it rips as it gets to a certain level.
That's why you're so ready with that idea.
Yeah. I'm ingrained in this. It's heavily based off of like other dressers that I've put out. I just kind of like played with the dimensions a little bit since this one's not limited by space. And then I'm going over like, I'm going to make actually like two different base styles. So it's something I don't want to do a ton of this. Like I don't want people to be bogged down by decisions that they have to make when they're doing a plan like this. But I also want to give options for like somebody that wants to do the whole like template, routing a template kind of deal. And then somebody that wants to just like cut joinery on a table saw and do it a more traditional way where it's not the routing way, which have kind of become like the two trains that like most of my projects kind of either go down one path or the other. So
yeah, it just kind of depends on how curvy it is.
Yeah. And then also I wanted to not have it where you have to buy a template to make the project.
Got it. That makes sense.
So if that's something that you want to totally avoid, you can, and then it's cheaper and just, changes the workflow and everything.
That's awesome. And we're going to keep talking about Chris's new plans and his new project after a word from our sponsor. Today's episode of the Modern Maker Podcast is sponsored by The Shivering Truth on Adult Swim, premiering May 10th at midnight.
It starts with a quiver,
a strange, incomprehensible thought grabs you.
That thought leads to a tremble, the tremble of preparing to act.
The act leads to a shudder of deep regret.
In the end, though, there is only truth.
A truth which leaves you shivering with fear. Or is it laughter? Is it all just a cosmic joke? Watch and find out.
The Shivering Truth, Season 2, premiering Sunday, May 10th at midnight. Truth is stranger than shivering.
Only on Adult Swim.
Nailed it. No, seriously, I'm a big fan of Adult Swim. Can't wait to check it out.
100%. So everybody, check out The Shivering Truth, Sunday, May 10th at midnight. It's the Season 2 premiere. Thanks for the love. Now back to the show.
Okay, so with the plans, I've kind of given myself an arbitrary deadline of the beginning of June. And then with hopes that the video is out in June, plans are available when the video comes out, obviously. Sean is finishing up the designs on his first set of plans, which are going to be for a rocking chair. So that one will definitely fall on the slightly more complicated side of things. So in the background, while all this is going on, something else that's been taking place is that we're actually taking over the entire shop space that we've been in. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So people have seen, you know, obviously I've been in this shop now for like a year and a half or whatever, but it started off where I was in maybe a quarter of it. And then by the time Sean was moving down here, I was in about half of it.
Yeah.
And now we're taking over the whole thing. So
dang, what an empire. Holy cow.
I know. It's going to be crazy. So it'll be nice. Like, it's definitely, I think it's going to be a good thing in the long run, obviously. It's going to let us spread out a little bit, dedicate areas to different things, have like a legit photo wall. So I don't have to have a photo wall at my house anymore, which my wife is really happy about.
A real luxury.
I know. So I'm in the office right now, which, you know, it's got a decently sized office. We'll be able to use this as like for filming, for me doing the podcast, all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely, we're excited about it. It's kind of one of those things where like we can't stop and like make it our dream shop or whatever because we're already so ingrained in other things. And then it's also one of those things where like we don't quite, the space is bigger than what we need it, to be honest, right now.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that's a great luxury to have. And I'm sure we will grow into it with time.
Can I rewind just a little bit, Chris?
What's up?
So it seems like this kind of sprung on you a little bit. Like, did you get news that like,
Yeah.
So what happened?
So basically, you know, Jason, the guy that I was sharing it with, he's just kind of, his business has changed over time.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really utilizing it that well anymore. So, and then.
And you are subleasing from him.
Right. And then that coupled with, you know, businesses, everything, his business has been pretty impacted by Corona, COVID-19, whatever we call it.
Right.
And so he's kind of been like taking this time to clean things up with his business, and it just wasn't making sense for him to be here anymore.
Just trimming the fat on everything. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. And so it was kind of like, you know, it's not the ideal time that we would have picked to do this because we're also obviously like being affected by this. Like, I've had to cancel or postpone the first two workshops, you know, however long this, if this continues going on, we may just have to cancel workshops and be like, hey, we'll reschedule when the world allows it again. So who knows what's going to happen? Not ideal situation, but I'm confident that eventually it'll come back. And when that does, like, that alone easily justifies having the space because it's something that we couldn't do out of a garage. It'd be impossible and illegal, I'm sure. So that alone will justify it. And like I said, we'll find other ways to utilize this space, I'm sure, with time. It's just like, we'll let it naturally kind of happen, but
yeah, but you just kind of had to step up in the moment. Otherwise you wouldn't have been able to keep the space.
Yeah, exactly. Dang. It was kind of like, all right, not what we would have asked for right this red hot second, but not bad.
So what do you have, like 40% more space?
Yeah, pretty much double of like what it was before.
That's so really cool. Suddenly, I mean, timing aside, that's still really, really amazing. That's,
so suddenly
that's
your
a lot
shop
of
got
options.
Bigger.
Yes.
That's such an interesting dilemma. And it's normally the opposite of what most people deal with.
Right when you get it all set up.
That's another funny part is like, so like infrastructurally, the stuff that we've invested money and time into. So like a lot of the electrical work and dust collection and all that stuff is like all in one part of the shop. And like, we could potentially take it to other parts of the shop, but it would cost a lot and require a lot. So it's kind of like, let's wait until we know that we're more permanent here to do anything like that. But still, just having the space will
work. Let's break this down a little bit. So you suddenly have more square footage available to you.
Yep.
And you have the option to take on and completely control the building that you work out of, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But the rent will go up if you want this to maintain this bigger space as the new normal for you.
Right.
So it's basically like, how do you deal with more space that's at a incrementally higher price? But how do you get value out of that space that's beyond what you actually need at this moment? But certainly would be probably nice in the future because I'm sure things will continue to expand.
Right.
Interesting. So the classes, I think, are one area. And like in an ideal sort of post-COVID world, like how many classes do you think you would do? Like would it be like once a week, once a month, or?
I'd say once a month would be the upper end of our goal.
Right. And it'd be like,
at
weekends.
Least if it's us doing it. Yeah. 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 Cause they take, it's basically a 3-day thing. So if we do it once a month, it's a 3-day thing. And you know, it's, I don't know, like you definitely couldn't do it weekly because it would have to become the business.
So I think there's like three areas where you could like control this extra space and monetize it potentially even at a profit and then have it as like flexibility for day-to-day use. So,
right.
Teaching is one way, right? So if you create a space for teaching a class, that's also, and you're not teaching a class every week, let alone every day, you could also then rent that space for other people that want to do workshops and classes and stuff like that. All set up, you have a decent amount of parking. All those things are like in that favor. Mm-hmm. Production is another thing that you do that you'll now have more space to do. Creating a photo studio or a sound stage or a room for podcasting, which you'll use again once a week, maybe twice a week, depending, but it can be set aside, which it's a value add for you, but it's also something that could create revenue when you're not using it those 1 or 2 days a week.
Right.
And then the last part would be sort of like the making activities. You can set up a bigger workshop. You have access to getting tools at either for free or for below average cost. And so you could rent like fully furnished workshop time to someone else doing that. That would probably be the least desirable, I would guess, sort of knowing you, because you want everything sort of dialed in for yourself.
Right.
But the other two options seemed like they could be ways, without sort of knowing the numbers, they could be ways that you could easily cover that additional rent, but then still maintain control of this increased amount of square footage.
No, I like that idea, especially of like, if you can find sort of tangential arts or crafts or whatever, for people to utilize the space to teach out of, because I feel like it's one of those things that like if we found a couple people and it was going well, I feel like it's something that could snowball and it become a space that's for that. And then it could become a business. Who knows? Like, I'm not going to count on that type of thing, but I think it would be nice from like an optics point of view and from a kind of like not have being able to utilize the space, but being able to commit it to something else when needed. And not like living with a nuisance day to day.
Big time. So the way I would look at it or way I would take inventory of it is prior to gaining this new space, whenever you and Sean set up your new bays, you got your setup, like under the assumption that that space wasn't going to grow, were y'all happy? Or were there any sort of reservations that you were like, oh man, it would be cool if we could do this, but maybe down the line? Or are y'all pretty much happy?
We were pretty good. So I would say like space-wise, we were pretty good.
Yeah.
Our major concern at that time would have been more like the aesthetic of it because the part that we didn't have was basically being used for storage. So our solution was going to be to kind of like build temporary or like kind of like false walls that were movable.
Yeah. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. That would just like block it and would still be usable. So obviously we're not going to do that now, but we won't need to. So, I mean, I do like the idea that we can do like maybe take on bigger things, have more things going at the same time, set up specific areas for different things. Like we'll definitely grow into it with time. We were fine where we were before, I would say.
Got you. Well, if that's the case, then man, I remember whenever we were doing the conference tables for Gary V's LA offices and I went out to, maybe it was Columbus.
Yeah, somewhere in Ohio.
Cleveland and Columbus are both in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Columbus. I visited the Urban Timber guys.
Yeah.
And they do a bunch of salvage loggings. Longtime listeners of the podcast have heard this story before, but I'm sure there's some new ears where, long story short, they salvage trees that have fallen in the city, slab them, and turn them into a bunch of pieces, whether they're dining tables, coffee tables, they just make a bunch of custom furniture. And we got linked up whenever we had this big project because I needed some space to build out of. And so we collaborated. And that was the thing that surprised me most of their shop, is probably 25% of it was taken up with stationary tools or sort of stations. The rest of it was just open floor plan where they had the burrow board sawhorses, where if they had a conference table going on, the conference table was really its own work table because it's so big. But it just gave them the freedom to sort of rotate projects around the shop. If they were working on multiple things in the space, they just had room to kind of keep something out of the way of something else. So I think just having open flex space, whether it's a thing where on the ceiling you have some roll down paper backdrops, where if you want to get some really clean gallery style shots that are sort of seamless, you can get those. But when you're not using them, they're on a roll and they just go up back out of sight. If you have a really long conference table, or if you have a really large built-in, great, get it off of the workbench, get that kind of in an area where you can work around it, and then have a side project going on while, you know, Sean is off sanding for 10 hours on that table. You can be working on something else.
No, I think that that will be like a huge benefit, because
the flex space, I think, is it.
Yeah, how we are right now, it's very hard to have multiple things going at once, and especially if two people had multiple things going at once. So it doesn't, it puts this like false, you end up wasting some time because you have to finish this one thing before you can get to the next thing.
Yeah, or you're just sitting and waiting for one thing to get done.
Right, and so especially like, you know, as we're developing these plans and we want to get more into that, it's possible that we could kind of have like multiple things going at once, where like, even with this project that I'm doing right now, which is like, you know, a medium-sized project, I'll call it.
Yeah.
I have stuff all over the place. And like, I even find myself being like, well, this is the next part I should do, but because I don't want to like make this panel that I have to move around 30 times before I can get to it, I'll just wait.
Yeah.
And it's like inefficient. So then I'm like going back and like repeating steps to make something that I should have just like made them all in the beginning. I should have just made all my panels at the same time in the beginning. But since I knew I wasn't getting to this one for a week, I just waited. Like stuff like that. It sounds like nothing, but it's like actually 6 hours that it saves you.
Yeah. Or if you just generally had the idea of, in that flex space, a little corner of it is for sort of like the projects that always have cure time. There's so many of those things where, whether it's epoxy, resin, just, I guess, anything. I can't think of more things off the top of my head. Concrete projects.
Full-size CNC.
Yeah, whatever it is. Things with the idea.
I'm ready for that.
This idea of saying, I can't take on a lot more woodworking because I'm pretty much cutting and assembling the majority of the day. But yeah, if you could set aside 1 hour a day that's dedicated towards things that have cure time or things that have a long wait time, then that's a way of, you know, not doubling output, but having a lot of things happen while you're doing other things.
Look, in an unpredictable world, flex space is such a blessing, right? Like that ability to have a little bit of a buffer so that your situation isn't so dialed in where one thing changes and you suddenly can't function anymore. I mean, hey, you know, having that extra cash reserve, having that extra square footage, having that extra sort of material supply, all those things are like huge advantages. So you don't have to figure it all out, but man, I think you having a full-size CNC machine that you could like let run just off to the side,
that would be awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, especially if you're thinking about plans. I mean, then you could just sort of be CNCing out templates too.
And shipping them.
Right. So all those things, not to mention, you know, maybe we have a little bit of, I don't know, maybe some little events like we did with that little Rockler one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we could have more. What did we call the Rockler Retreat? That's what we called it.
The Rockler Retreat.
Yeah, we could have more retreats.
I agree. Yeah. So I think the flex space move is a really cool one. And I still don't hate the idea of having basically fake walls on wheels. Because if it is a situation where you got Sean building something in the background and you want to be able to do something behind on the other side of the wall, you guys aren't in each other's way and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we were already talking about it because in the space, it's the big open workshop area. Then there's this office that I'm in right now. then there's like a kitchen kind of area that like doesn't really have anything in it except for a refrigerator. And then there's two bathrooms. And we were thinking like this kitchen, like obviously we need to have a refrigerator somewhere, but like we could turn this into the spot that's like just set up for filming the plans parts where like,
yeah,
you know, the part where we need to talk to the camera, which is going to be like a lot of footage for every plan. So like just have it permanently set up where it's like we got lights in there.
That's it.
Decorate one of the walls to kind of be like shop-y looking. Like, you know, it doesn't have to look like you're in a workshop, but like you don't want it looking like you're standing in a white laboratory or something like that. So doing stuff like that could be a big time save, especially if we get deeper into this kind of stuff where like, you know, where we're producing one a month or something like that. And that part accounts for 2 days a month to not have to like set up and break down every time and dial in sound and dial in lighting and do all those things. That's a big time saver. And also like a big, what's a good word for it? Like
lifestyle
stops you from
upgrade.
Procrastinating.
Yeah. It's just a lifestyle upgrade, man. You don't have that thing that's like, oh, okay. Before I can work, I've got to work.
Yes. Like it's so nice to be able to just like walk in and be like, I'm working.
Yeah. You just get right to it.
Yeah. It makes a big difference. So
what about a paint spray room?
We thought about it. So I mean like, I do want to like set up a good finishing area. It probably would be where there's the roll up door, right where you walk in. That way we can just kind of like tape it off kind of, and then just the spray goes outside to the dirty parking lot. I don't think we could do it inside, man. It's too, it'd be too toxic.
Yeah. It seems like a little bit of a waste. Yeah, especially with California being beautiful weather all the time. Like if you had to get it out of the cold or something like that, it makes sense. But I say flex space.
Flex it up, baby.
Boom. Yeah, it kind of hits everything. It's like classes, boom. Taking on bigger projects, boom.
All in all, though, once you start getting it set up, Mike and I will have to come down for a little visit.
Yeah, for sure.
Very soon.
Very soon. All right. What else is going on? Your bus?
Yeah,
oh,
Mike,
yeah.
You
updates on the bus?
Episode 2 of The Bus is out this week. If you're listening on Thursday, there's a good chance you've already seen that episode.
And enjoyed it.
Dude, those colors are bold. Am I right, guys?
Yeah, it's like Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay, I'll take that. I like that.
Extra saturated, though.
It is. Yeah, so that's the big difference between what I'm wanting to do with the bus versus the classic modern builds, is I'm going pretty high with the saturation on a lot of colors.
Dialing it up.
So I went bedding shopping and I found a really cool teal and pink combo for the comforter and the sheets. And I really liked the way it looked. It's a very good in between like what you're talking about, Chris, with Southwest kind of style, but kind of art deco-y. And, you know, everybody knows I really love the color pink. You know, as a straight guy, I'm not scared of saying it. I found some great colors, and so I took them to Home Depot, and I paint matched the colors of the bedding, and I painted a lot of the platform for the bed that I built with those colors also. So the window seat, the headboard, and the one wall of the bathroom that's all facing into the bedroom is teal or pink, man. It was a bold move, and I'm really glad that I went for it. It looks, in my book, really awesome.
Have you slept in it yet?
I have not. No. The bad part, see, this is similar to what you're talking about. I was going to say, this is similar to like what you were talking about, Chris, is I spent a little bit of time really making it staged nicely, like making sure it was staged nicely. It looked homey and all of this sort of stuff so that I could get all my pictures and immediately take it all out so I can start working on the bathroom.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, huh? You can't really have it all in there while you're doing construction, essentially.
It's funny, though. It is really nice seeing, even though the rest of the bus is still under construction, seeing that space come to fruition and see how it'll look. It was really awesome. So couldn't be more pumped with it. I hope the video does well. So to all the listeners, go give it a watch, give it a thumbs up, and give a comment or something like that. Because at the end of the day, YouTube loves engagement, and I'm really trying to make this series pop off.
Yeah. So then it sounds like bedroom in the books. Maybe you're finishing up editing right now. Have you already started working on another spot, or are you just like finishing that out before you move on?
So the day that we're recording this podcast, Monday, is the day that I finished staging everything, and I've got the video almost done. So tomorrow, which is Tuesday, I'll be heading out, getting those intro and outro shots, getting my glamour shots, so I have good Instagram pictures of the space. And then I'm going to wrap up the video, throw on voiceover, add music, and send it out for sponsor approval. And then as soon as that video gets released, it's on to the bathroom. And the bathroom is sort of that one that I'm a little nervous about. There's a lot of wiring. There's a lot of plumbing.
You're gonna be there for a while.
It's gonna be a tough one, man. But I'm confident, and I'm really ready to just go balls to the walls and like not be intimidated by any of it. Just go hard in the paint.
Very nice. And then when do you have a? I don't remember if we've said this. Do you have a time when you expect to be completely done?
No, but it's looking like I'm getting about 2 videos a month out. Okay. And I got 4 more to go.
Okay. So dead of summer.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And I was going to say that 100. As it continues to get hotter, I'm going to be working more and more to get that puppy done. But
yeah, yeah.
You need more of those basic t-shirts.
Yeah. It's been a really fun project though, guys. I know the listeners have been strung along on this forever, but it's crazy how much I'm learning. And the idea of like these crazy built-ins and everything that I'm making has got me real comfortable for making like media units and big, sort of like what we were talking about earlier, whether it's a gigantic wardrobe wall, like just a functionality wall or something like that. I'm really getting into the idea of some sort of compartment city, because it's pretty much what I've been doing on the bus. And it's not as bad as I thought it would be.
There you go, man.
Never is.
It never is. Yeah.
Bus making.
That's cool.
Ready for anything.
So what are you guys obsessed with this week? Have you been interested in anything new, watching something? I want to shout out the UFC for being the first major sport to come back after cannoli virus. So that is awesome.
They haven't already had one, did they?
No, but they've announced it. It's for next Saturday, I think. UFC
is coming. This coming Saturday, right?
Yep. UFC 249. So they've
stacked up. Have they said like where they're doing it and all that stuff? Or
Florida.
Florida, where everything's legal.
Audiences or no audience?
No audience.
No audience, but it's a really stacked card. I'm not going to go naming it off, but just give it a Google, guys. But no, I think it's cool. It's sort of the first sign of the world reopening. Hopefully things making their steady, but
safe
worthwhile. Yeah, I was about to say worthwhile efforts into getting back to regularity. So I'm looking forward to it. I know that. It's been a long time since I've watched any kind of sports or have had some kind of like live event that I've been interested in. So this has been long awaited. And I hope all the states that are opening up, I know that that's been happening on the first of the month. I hope everybody's safe there. And I'm really curious to see sort of the stats.
Mike just had some technical difficulties, but we all get the sentiment of what he was saying. He'll try to fix it while we continue to talk. But Ben, what have you been watching?
I just finished the first season of Dave on FX, show with Little Dicky. Excellent.
Phenomenal.
10 episodes. Yeah, I think it's the best new show I've seen this year. It's really good, and it's not much of a time commitment. And I think it's got a little bit of something for everyone. It's funny.
Nice. I got to check it.
Got some good ideas. Yeah, it's not Netflix, so people have been missing it. But I think it's like FX's best rated show. Like, I think it's pulling numbers.
Nice.
Yeah. Dave on FX. All right. So one of the things that I think is interesting about this show is it deals with a dynamic that I certainly have experienced, where your ambition or your interest or passion or whatever you want to call it into a specific activity becomes so important to you that, which is a good thing. Like, we all admire people that passionately pursue something, right? Like, you know, whether it's the Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, or celebrating the life of Kobe Bryant, you're celebrating this maniacal kind of passion and singular pursuit at the expense of all else. Well, sort of, you know, seeing how the character in the show sort of balances really just wanting to be really good at this thing because he thinks he has a chance to be significant, but at the detriment to family and friendships and stuff like that. I think they portray that really well.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to check it out, and I could use some new stuff to watch, so good timing. So for me, I don't really have anything new, but something that I've been doing lately is just kind of like, I don't know if you guys have this, and it's a shame Mike won't be able to chime in, but there's like bands that like, you know, you're familiar with, but you never got into for whatever reason, but you're always just like, they were popular, but you kind of wanted to like go back and listen to them. So I've been trying to do that, where I'm going to try to like choose a band every week or two to kind of go through maybe like, you know, their 5 most popular albums and just like kind of get a feel for like, what was this band
right,
all about?
Like, what so the did first I miss?
One, yeah, yeah, yeah. So the first one that I've been doing is Stone Temple Pilots, just kind of randomly.
Well, STP. And
like, yeah, so like obviously I remember like their singles that they had when I was in, you know, elementary or junior high or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to like go back and do that. And I would recommend people to do that. If there's any bands that were on, like, you know, in high school, you remember people like them, but you never got into them, whatever. Just go back, check them out. Fills up the day if you're working by yourself or whatever. So that's what I've been doing. But now I'm going to do my best Mike impression to close out the episode. So whether you're at work or working out or working on your tan or your car or whatever else you're working on.
We're just doing some sanding.
Working on sanding. Workshop, working on your workshop. Thank you for listening. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. iTunes loves a good 5-star review. You can follow me at Four Eyes Furniture on Instagram. You can follow Ben at Benjamin Ueda. And you can follow Mike at Modern Builds.
At Modern Builds.
I couldn't decide if it was Mike something or Modern Builds, but it's Modern Builds for sure. Thanks for listening, and we will see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Mike said bye.